We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host in Austin. Alex is on the road in California giving a presentation to a large health group out there this weekend. We have a lot of breaking news, and of course, if you haven't seen it on Infowars.com, there is now a video showing troops doing exactly what they're proposing to do and Jade Helm doing it in Fort Lauderdale. Of course, no one got any advance notification of this. This is something, as we have pointed out, I'm going to play Joe Biggs's video at the end of the hour talking about how Fox News spun this. They were spinning it to tell people that we were maintaining that we had found some secret classified document. No, it was unclassified. It was on a server. It just wasn't being made public. And so what we did was once it was unscribed, we made that public. We pointed that out to people. Then they pretended that they didn't know what was in this document, that they hadn't seen it, that it wasn't theirs. They basically just tried to ignore it until it went viral. At that point, they can't ignore it. But we're going to show you footage of it. I'll narrate this for those of you who are listening on the radio. We're going to show you footage of what happened in Fort Lauderdale. And of course, the people there didn't know this was coming. That's one of the differences, knowing that this is going to happen, being prepared to take this kind of footage. But of course, with everyone having cell phones, citizen journalists are getting some really, really important information. And this is very important for you to see. If you haven't seen it, and it's on Infowars.com. It's the top article right there from Paul Joseph Watson. Video shows troops training to intern citizens in Fort Lauderdale. See, this is snatch and grab. Snatch and grab of citizens. They've got a lot of people that are being drugged into confinement, whisked off in helicopters, people being marched in single file by the military role players in civilian clothes, and then herded into white vans and driven off. This is the NDAA, indefinite detention by the military, rendition abroad or wherever to a torture site, not having a trial, just being held indefinitely. This is training for what they put into the NDAA. Everyone should be concerned about this. Everyone, conservatives, liberals, everyone. Now, of course, when you look at Jade Helm, the political designations, the color designations that they have are very much red, blue states, as you've seen, Democrat states, Texas and Utah, or red states marked hostile. They essentially are not friendly to the Obama administration. You see the blue states there, of course. Those are supposedly states like California, Colorado, Nevada that are in the Democrat column there. Those are friendly states. So it follows these political designations that we've seen, even the colors that they use. We need to understand that they have these scenarios. They've had these scenarios for a very long time. We have the article at Infowars.com. Alex Jones, Paul Joseph Watson put it together with lists of embedded videos as well as lists of links showing how this is something that has been progressing for a very long time. And now you can see it happening in Fort Lauderdale. Stepping this up each time that they do it. This is what they're training for. Very concerning. We're also going to be talking in this program about the situation of the suicide pilot. I believe as more and more information comes out, they say that they found antidepressants in his home. But no one will say that it is SSRIs. I believe that it is. The FAA excluded SSRIs from being banned from pilot use. They cannot take any kind of antidepressant or mood-altering drugs with the exceptions of SSRIs. What we have seen linked over and over and over again to suicide murder cases. Many, many situations besides any big shooting events. We've also seen a lot of situations where a teenager who's been put on SSRIs kills everyone in their family and has absolutely no empathy, no emotion about it. These are the symptoms of SSRI. And when you look at what they're telling us from the black box recordings, and when you look at the fact that the FAA has specifically excluded SSRIs from being banned, it's a very telling story. We're also going to be talking about the push to move the EU trade and euro currency to a sovereign state. We've been telling you all along that these trade organizations are about changing sovereignty, about world government, and now they're admitting it in a big time about the EU. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, March 29th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host today. We have a lot of news, especially about Jade Helm, because what we've seen in Fort Lauderdale, this is the top story on Infowars.com right now. Video shows troops training to intern citizens in Fort Lauderdale. We're going to show you this video. We're also going to describe it for those of you who are listening on the radio. A very disturbing video when you think about the implications. Think about what our government is training for. This is the NDAA, indefinite detention by the military, rendition of people that are hostile to the government. This is exactly what we've been concerned about with the NDAA. We can see that they are training for it in the cities now. How much do you need to see? We have produced documents showing how they have been creating training scenarios for this, creating military training facilities inside of military bases to train for this in America for a very long time. And now we see this happening in Fort Lauderdale. Now, of course, the document was not made public about the training going on in Fort Lauderdale. So people were just surprised to see that happening. And that would be the way that it would be in Texas and Utah when Jade Helm begins, if the document hadn't been made public. That's what we're trying to get people to see. We're trying to get people to see what they are training for, who they perceive as their enemies according to their scenario, according to their training. And they train where they're going to fight, in the way they're going to fight, with people who look like their enemies. What does it tell you when they are moving about? The whole purpose of this exercise, they say, is to be able to move about in America so that Americans can't detect them. Do you see something wrong with that? You should see something wrong with that. So we're going to talk about the whole issue of what the mission of the military should be. We need to have this discussion. If we don't have this discussion pretty soon, we're not going to be able to have that discussion or any other political discussion. But we've also got some other news we're going to cover. It looks like the move towards a sovereign state in the EU is picking up speed. We keep seeing this brought up time and again. And of course, we have said from the very beginning that when they create these trade blocks like NAFTA, like the European Union, the whole purpose of it is to create a sovereign entity and then to join those regional sovereign entities into a larger collective until they get to a one world government. That has always been the objective. We see now that David Petraeus mentioned just last year, he said, well, you know, what comes after North America? What comes after America? North America. And then he went on to say that he was talking about the North American Union. He says, we're 20 years into the North American Union, so we need to take a look at this. It was 10 years ago that the Council on Foreign Relations, with Ted Cruz's wife as one of the members of this committee, was talking about what they should do with the North American Union, and their solution, their key recommendation from the Council on Foreign Relations 10 years ago, was to make sure that there was one common border around the three countries, that they would have a common law enforcement that would presumably be run by the Homeland Security and the guys in Washington. This is something that has always been in the cards for everyone. Destroying the sovereignty of Mexico, of America, and of Canada, subsuming them into a North American Union, doing the same in Europe. And let's look at what's going on with this. It was back in February, and we've reported this as well when it happened. Alan Greenspan, former chair of the Federal Reserve, said that he predicted that Greece would exit from the euro. He thought that it was inevitable that that would happen. They say, he goes on to say, though, he said, the problem is that there is no way I can conceive of the euro continuing unless and until all the members of the eurozone become politically integrated. Actually, even just fiscally integrated won't do it. So in other words, they tell us, just as they told us about the North American Union, they said, this is about trade. It's simply about trade. There's nothing but trade. We said it was to destroy the sovereignty of the three countries involved. Same thing when they came in with the EU and with the euro. They said, this is simply an economic trading zone. Now they're saying that it's about political integration. It's not enough just to have fiscal integration. It's not enough just to have a trade zone. You can't really make that work unless you can have a government that subsumes the whole area. And so now they're telling us that about North America. about the North American Union. Now they're telling us that about the euro. Now today, we have an article that came out. Eurozone can't survive in its current form, says PIMCO. Now, PIMCO is a Pacific Investment Management Company. It is one of the largest, is the largest, bond fund in the world. And the manager of that bond fund said that the Eurozone is untenable in its current form and cannot survive unless countries are prepared to cede sovereignty and become a United States of Europe. A United States of Europe. So that's the next step. Okay? Now, one more quote from that, and I'll tell you where this is going the step after that. Because the reason they are showing us that the North American Union and the European Union were about sovereignty all along is because they're working on the next step. Before I leave this article, he also has this to say. He says, will we get the United States of Europe? It's not impossible, but Europe could also spend many decades in a hybrid form of political and fiscal federalism. While there might not be one government, one passport, and one army, we could be moving closer to that, but just not yet. You understand? One government, one passport, one army. Army for Europe. See, because that's the next step. You can't have a sovereign state without an army. And you can't feed that army without taxes. So at every level of sovereignty, they're going to have some kind of an army to keep the people in line and a way to get that army fed. So why are they coming out at this point about the Eurozone? Why are they coming out about the North American Union? It's because they are about to run through the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Partnerships. Those are being sold to us, they're always sold to us, as simply a trade agreement. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Transatlantic Partnership, are trade agreements that are being negotiated in secret by corporate lobbyists. And that's not an exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. It is no one but corporate lobbyists. Our elected representatives are not allowed to see it. We are not allowed to see what's going on with it. The only thing we know about it are some leaks from the WikiLeaks people. Other than that, we know nothing about it. But we do know from those leaks, we do know that it is already far beyond a trade agreement. It will affect many things within the countries immediately. But the long-term goal is not just to take control of the internet. It's not just to force GMOs on people. It's not just to help the big pharmaceutical companies. Those things are all in there, of course. And many people are concerned about that, upset about that, and rightfully so. But the bigger picture where this is headed is a corporate governance of the world. That's the next step. That's why they're telling us what they have already done, telling us that, hey, we're now 20 years in the North American Union. America is finished. That's what Petraeus is saying. Okay? Greenspan and the manager of the world's biggest bond fund are saying the Eurozone is either going to break up or it's going to become the United States of Europe. So they're saying that at the same time they're creating this transatlantic partnership and the trans-Pacific partnership. So they're going to take these zones of North America and Europe and they're going to unify them with these quote-unquote trade agreements that are being done in secret. And of course, the biggest deal is that they're fast-tracked. That means that nobody is going to see this until about 24 hours before it has to be voted on. No one will have time to actually look at the document in much detail. And of course, with fast-tracked, even if they don't like something that's in it, there'll be no chance for anyone to change anything in the Senate or in the House. They're not going to be able to make any changes. It's going to be a take it all or leave it all. And there's going to be so much pressure on them that they will take it all. We see that happen over and over again. Now, in another area, we see that Newt Gingrich has come out and finally admitted that the GOP really doesn't want to repeal Obamacare. He said this on Thursday. He said it at a Washington, D.C. health conference. Actually, that was on Wednesday. It was reported by USA Today on Thursday. He said he doesn't think that Obamacare should be repealed. And he says congressional Republicans who say they want to repeal it really don't want to repeal it either. There you go. There finally some candid speech from someone. He says, you know, he originally thought that Obamacare, that mandates, not just Obamacare, but mandates by insurance was a little bit too authoritative, a little bit too authoritarian, I should say. But now he's fine with that. And he thinks that the Republicans are just lying to you. We know they're lying to us. They haven't done anything. We'll be right back.
Defense. defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Sunday, March 29th, 2015. We're going to be talking about the exercises that were took place in Fort Lauderdale. We had some people who fortunately took video of this. If you haven't seen it, it is very chilling. We're going to play that and describe that as well as put it in a context for you as well. Before I do that, though, I want to get to some other news that's up. I think it's very disturbing to see that Google suspended the AdSense account of antiwar.com. Now, why would they do that? Well, they did it because antiwar.com published some pictures of the horrific torture that was going on at Abu Ghraib. And I'm talking about, when I say horrific torture, I'm not talking about the humiliation that we were told about a few years ago. I mean, that would be sadistic. But I'm talking about bringing in young children, young boys, and raping them in front of their mothers, to the extent that their mothers were writing letters saying, "I just want to die." That's what they were doing. That's what our government, our military was doing in our name. Antiwar.com posted those pictures. They are very offensive pictures. They're very violent pictures. They're very disturbing pictures. That's why they need to be posted, because there's a political aspect to this. It is not gratuitous pornography that they're putting up there. But Google AdSense shut them down, as they did Mint Press and others, for publishing these photographs. And I have to say that that's a way of economically shutting these people down. It's a very disturbing thing to see that kind of economic power concentrated in the hands of one corporation. We know that they're using their truthiness rankings to essentially shut people down, not based on how popular a particular article is, because they don't want something to go viral. They want to be able to control this. So they're going to go into their knowledge vault, they say, and they're going to arbitrate as to what's correct and what isn't. They're going to be the final arbiters of what's true, along with the lady and her husband and her cat at Snopes. They're going to decide what's going to be allowed, and they're going to rank things according to their truthfulness, according to their knowledge vault. That's another way to shut out the truth, to make it disappear, to flush it down the memory hole, and of course, to hurt people economically, to take away their economic, the way that they can sustain their website, the way they can sustain their journalism. It's one of the reasons why we have InfoWarsLife.com here. And, you know, to have that kind of an income stream that is independent. Yes, we do AdSense. But you have to have some way to keep yourself going, whether it is donations from individuals. And, of course, these sites do this as well. There's also a campaign from antiwar.com. Hashtag don't expose evil. It's a meme contest. And if you look at that, search that, you will see they've got a whole line, a cartoon line of people in orange jumpsuits with hoods over their heads with earmuffs so they can't see anything, they can't hear anything, total sensory deprivation, kneeling and handcuffed. And that's what it's come to with our government. And we're going to show you how they're training to do that. To a larger extent, training to do that in America. That's what the NDAA is about, is training to do that in America. They put it into the law. They've left it there now several iterations of the National Defense Authorization Act. And so they have put it in there, said, we have to slip this in. You have to pass this budget. That funds the military. And of course, we cannot not fund the military. We can't even reduce its scope or size. And so they have left this in now for several years. Obama said he wasn't going to sign it, and then he signed it New Year's Eve. And then when people called him on it, he said, don't worry, I'm not going to enforce it. That's right. Maybe it's for the next guy that follows him. He'll be the one to enforce it. Who knows? We should all be very concerned about that. This isn't something that's just aimed at left wing. It's not aimed just at the right wing. This is a loaded gun. This is Russian roulette with all the cylinders loaded. And the question is, which one of these presidents is going to pull the trigger? That's why we need to shut this down, and that's why we need to stop the kind of military exercises that happened last night in Fort Lauderdale, as well as what's going to be happening later this summer with Operation Jade Helm. Before I go any further with the news, I want to let you know that we've got a sale at InfoWarsLife.com. DNA Force is now 30% off. just to the end of this month, just to the end of March, just another couple of days. That's a huge savings. It's the first time it's been below $100 that we've had it on our site. I think it's a savings of, over $40 you save on that off of the regular price. A very important blend to give you mitochondrial health. I was talking about the telomeres being a prediction of how long you're going to live. It's been described as kind of the tips. The telomeres are kind of the tips on the end of a shoestring, where the shoestring is your DNA, and the telomeres is the little tip that protects that shoestring, that keeps it from fraying and coming apart. It's very important to keep that intact, to keep it long. And if you look at that on someone, they found that it's a very good predictor of how long someone is going to live. So what can you do to increase that mitochondrial health? Well, there's been a lot of studies that show resveratrol as well as BioPQQ. There's been 175 studies showing that BioPQQ helps mitochondrial health, as well as resveratrol. And we have a special form of resveratrol, a trans resveratrol. It's the active isomer that's in resveratrol. So those are both in DNA force. And that's the point, is to keep your mitochondrial health up. It's an anti-aging process to try to control the damage that is done to your DNA from toxins. And there's been 175 studies that show that it can improve both the number and the function of your mitochondria, as well as protect them from damage. So that's available right now, 30% off, just to the end of the month. First time it's been under $100. That supports our operation, and it supports your health. There's been a lot of talk about, of course, this horrific suicide of this pilot. And the fact that he could fly this, according to what they're telling us from the flight recorders, that he could fly this into the mountain, even though his co-pilot, locked out of the cockpit, is pounding on the door, screaming, trying to get in. And even though they say they could hear the screams of the passengers as just before impact, just as they realized that this was not an approach to a landing, but that he was going to fly into the mountain. Nevertheless, they say that his breathing and his pulse rate were unaffected. He's very coolly and calmly flying this into the mountainside. And when I looked at that, I guess I've kind of stuck on this for a while, because to me, it was something of a metaphor of what our own government is doing to us with these drills, these exercises, these training scenarios, training to fight the American people. But even beyond that, the permanent multiplying wars that we have everywhere. We have a government that not only has multiple undeclared wars going on, they're looking to start more. And of course, they're even picking a fight with Russia, trying to revive the Cold War. They actually think they can win all of these things and pick a fight with the American people and win that one as well. They must be on SSRIs. They must be totally out of their mind, suicidal. I think that's what this Andreas Lubnitz was on, as there's been report surfacing that he was getting psychiatric treatment, that he was on antidepressants. I started looking to see if they would name the drugs, even if they would name the class of the drugs. And I'm going to tell you, we're out of time for this segment. I'm going to tell you what I found out right after the break. I think you'll be pretty amazed at what the FAA does with SSRIs. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Now, just before the break, we began to talk about what I believe is an amazing revelation about the FAA's attitude towards SSRIs. And of course, we have pointed out many, many times the common connection between people committing suicide, many times preceded by the murder of their family or people in their immediate vicinity, with absolutely no feeling whatsoever for anyone, including themselves. And that's apparently what we're seeing from this pilot. Now, when I started looking for it, I started looking to see if I could find a connection with SSRIs. And I found a couple of sites that actually did mention SSRIs because they kept saying that he was depressed. He was getting medication. They would not name the medication. They wouldn't even mention what class of medication it was, just that it was medication for being depressed. And of course, we know that the medication of choice for that illness is to give people SSRIs, which if you read the insert says that it produces suicidal thoughts. One of the things that they talk about especially is the discontinuation syndrome. In other words, when you stop it, it gets much, much worse. So you go to a psychiatrist, you're depressed, you're having suicidal thoughts. He gives you a medication that exacerbates that. And then when you realize that it's having really bad side effects in many other ways on you, and there are a lot of side effects with these SSRIs, when you realize that it's got these other side effects and you want to get off of this drug, you can't get off of it. It's very dangerous to get off of it. That's when it becomes even more dangerous than when you're taking it or when you weren't taking it. So I'm looking for these SSRI connections, and I found a couple of articles. One of them was Voice of America, you know, the propaganda outlet from the American government that was prohibited in the United States, was created to go after the Russians and the Eastern Bloc as the Cold War began. And it was banned from operating in the United States, but they repealed that a couple of years ago because, you know, we have to be propagandized. They're not winning the propaganda war, the information war. They admit they're losing it. They admit that it's just mindless propaganda. So they've brought that back. Well, it was interesting. That was one of the ones that turned up and mentioned SSRIs as being the depressants. And then when I went to look at the article, that had been taken out. I found another one that mentioned SSRIs. That had been taken out as well. I screenshot the Google searches, but it's absolutely amazing. But I did find this on the Washington Post. They said commercial pilots in the United States are grounded by FAA regulations if they're taking certain prescription drugs, including all sedatives, all tranquilizers, all antipsychotic drugs, and all antidepressants except for Prozac, Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, the SSRIs. It pays to have friends in high places, doesn't it? And that was removed in 2010. So all antidepressants, all sedatives, all psychotic drugs, all tranquilizers, as you would expect, would be banned for pilots. But then they removed that just for SSRIs. The drugs that we know have these suicidal mass murder tendencies. We have documented this over and over again. You can go to multiple sites and get a long list. We've run it at our site as well. A long list of people that were involved with SSRIs that went on killing sprees. And it doesn't have to be a gun. Of course, that's the way they always spin it. They say, well, we got to get rid of the guns. No, you have to get rid of the source, the thing that's making people suicidal and turning them into mass murderers, because they can kill people with airplanes as well. They say a pilot must also be on a stable dose of those medications for at least 6 months prior to flying. In other words, that's the discontinuation syndrome. Now, what did the FAA say? So I looked at this a little bit closer. The FAA, here's the actual ruling going back to April 2nd, 2010. The FAA says, we approve SSRIs for medical certification. Pilots taking certain types of common antidepressants may soon return to the air. Isn't that comforting? The FAA announced that it will allow special issuance medical certification for pilots who take four common medications for certain types of depressive disorders. Beginning April 5th, 2010, the agency will consider for all classes of medical certification the use of Prozac, Zoloft, Celexa, and Lexapro. And they said this, before deciding to allow the medications, which are all SSRIs, the FAA conducted an extensive review of literature assessing the risks and the benefits of antidepressant usage. Where do you think they got that literature? That's probably supplied to them by Big Pharma that sells the SSRIs and funds the studies and writes the literature. So there you go. So now they're saying, well, you know, they may face stricter psych evaluations. Fine, but stop giving them SSRIs. That's key. Of course, Time Magazine comes out and they say, well, we think the problem is privacy. He didn't have to report that, and the airline couldn't look at all of the aspects of his own personal private life. Now, that's not the answer. That is not the answer. Giving up our privacy is always what's being pushed by the corporate media here in America, but that is not the answer. The answer is to stop SSRIs. The answer is not to ban privacy. The answer is not to ban planes. The answer is not to ban guns. The answer is to ban the mass murder suicide pills that we call SSRIs. This is just another example of that. Now, I've been talking about this drill that's going on in Fort Lauderdale. We're going to go to that in just a moment. But before we do, I want you to think about the fact that this video that we've got here, which I think is pretty disturbing when I looked at it. It disturbs me because I understand what's behind this. I understand what they've been training for. I've walked through Fort AP Hill where they were training in a very explicitly, fully intact American city to do operations there. That was a base within a base. Asymmetric warfare. Unconventional warfare is another part of it. But of course, we had citizen journalists who pulled this up, and there's some clips for people who are watching this now. That's when we were walking over to the area that Big said looked like the place where they were torturing people in Iraq. And, of course, that was connected with an underground tunnel that went across the street to the mosque. There was an underground tunnel, and both of those buildings looked like they were directly across from each other. And then, of course, there's a church just to the right-hand side, the soccer field. Everything else about that was total small-town America. They put the mosque up large and center so they could tell people, oh, this is for foreign countries, for the Islamists. Listen, just as Madison said, if tyranny ever comes to our land, it will come in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is not about that. We stood at the corner of First and Main at Fort AP Hill in the Asymmetric Warfare Center. That is an American city that they're training to fight in. But I want you to think about this. There's been, of course, a constant back and forth about whether or not we have a right to film our government in public. They maintain they have a right to not only film us in public, but to look and examine us and collect data on us in private without a search warrant. But we are not allowed to take pictures of our masters. And so we see that there's a bill being introduced in the state of Montana that would require a permit to film on private property, providing penalties, defining law enforcement of officers, and requiring release waivers for certain persons. But of course, it is really, the title is an act revising laws related to filming law enforcement officers during the conduct of official duties. That's precisely when they should be filmed. Exactly. We're not interested in filming them as they go about their private life. They should have a private life just as we should have a private life. But the very government that doesn't want us, including the officers, to have any privacy at home, also says that when they are on official duty, they should not be filmed. That's precisely when they should be filmed. And so they have an idea. They're going to give you a permit to film law enforcement activities with a lot of stipulations on it. But listen to this part. A law enforcement agency that allows a law enforcement officer to be accompanied and filmed retains full control over the content of any recording and must approve its use and any edited versions of the content before the content or edited content may be aired. There you go. They retain full editorial control even after the fact. So if you film something that they don't like, it doesn't go up. And see, that's the problem with the body cameras on the officers. They retain full editorial control. That's a very dangerous thing. Stay with us. Right after we come back, we're going to show you this video that happened and the training exercise that happened in Fort Lauderdale that was done without permission of law enforcement or the military. Like we had a free country, but we won't have it for long if they keep doing these kinds of exercises and do them for real. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, March 29th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We've been talking this entire hour about the article that's up on Infowars.com. Paul Joseph Watson put up a video shows troops training to intern citizens in Fort Lauderdale. Martial law style drill is caught on camera, and he points out armed troops were arresting. We're going to show you this video. We're going to talk about this in just a moment. Arresting role players on the street before a column of prisoners are marched toward a mock internment facility. You also see them being picked up and put into white vans and driven away. some of them taken away by helicopter, apparently. Accompanied by very little media coverage, they says that it would be they would be assisting members of the U.S. Special Forces. This is what they were told in when this began to happen. This is what the media told them. Said that the that law enforcement is going to be assisting members of Special Forces who are undergoing urban warfare training. And they had this in various locations. The military did not disclose this beforehand. See, that's what's different about Jade Helm, is that this unclassified document was hidden in plain sight, but not viral. People didn't know that was going on. They typically only tell people as this is happening or the day before. They say the goal is to prepare participants in realistic, unfamiliar training conditions before they deploy for combat overseas. Look, I don't even believe this is for combat overseas. If so, it has a dual purpose. But as Madison said, if tyranny ever comes to this land, it will come in the form of fighting a foreign enemy. That's the way this is being brought to us. So let's go and take a look at this, because to me, this is obviously training for the kinds of stuff we've been concerned about since indefinite detention by the military and rendition were passed as part of the NDAA. We've been saying that this is precisely what would happen, and now they're acting it out for us on our streets with the help of law enforcement. Because, you know, of course, in foreign countries, they're going to have, when they do this in Iran, they're going to have the cooperation of the Iranian police, right? No, they're not. No, they're not. This is for use in America, folks. And you can see this. Let's run this clip here. And as we're running this clip, I want to play for you what they were telling the Brazos County officials about Jade Helm. For those of you who can't see this is a black helicopter coming in, these Black Hawk helicopters.
No one will be staying here in Brazos County. They'll be coming in, doing the hit and extracting.
Coming in, doing the hit and extracting.
Maybe 15 to 20 minutes of exposure, and then that's it. Then they're gone.
Can we recommend some places to you to hit?
You know, every county that we have briefed has done that for us also.
Now, what we're looking at there, we just saw somebody on the ground, soldiers surrounding him. You're going to see that person getting drug off, or somebody else being drug off in just a moment. More helicopters landing and taking off. This is a very dangerous thing, to be operating helicopters at this level in a major city. I don't know if you can get, I don't think you can get FAA permission to do that normally. Now, this, what we're looking at on the video right now, is a line of people being marched across a civilian American street, accompanied by
the
military.
Unconventional warfare into a perspective. You see it a couple different places up there, unconventional warfare, and I'll explain that from a historical perspective.
Again, this is a presentation at Brazos County of Jade Helm, which you're listening to.
Troops on troops, tanks on tanks, uniform enemy against uniform enemy is the way conventional warfare is generally defined. Unconventional warfare, from a historical perspective, if you think of World War II, Germany came in and they took over France. The French did not want them there. They formed the French Underground. The French Underground conducted activities such as subversion and sabotage. They would hit logistics lines.
Nazi occupation of France, okay? We're playing the part of the Nazis. That's what the American government is doing right now. Go ahead, keep playing that.
Moralize the Germans. So what a lot of folks don't know is there were American advisors with the French underground throughout World War II assisting them in planning and conducting those types of activities.
Now, if you're watching this video right now, you see civilians being loaded into
white
vans.
United States Army Special Forces has had the charter to conduct unconventional warfare throughout
the globe. And there they go, driving them off in the white vans to the internment
centers. The last 15 years, we have been in Afghanistan and Iraq. We've been doing more of a counterinsurgency role.
Okay, hold it right there. Yeah, that's it. They're now counterinsurgency, because you see, if they go in and invade a country and the people fight back against it, like the French did against the Germans, the French resistance was an insurgency, they call it. And then, of course, the Germans would do what the Nazis did, and they call that counterinsurgency. That's where we've been hanging out for the last several decades, on the German side of the equation. Now, let me explain to you, when they go into these county commissioners, they tell them this is about unconventional warfare. They don't define what unconventional warfare is that much in detail. You can go to Wikipedia and you can see the quotes taken from the military documents. As I mentioned on Friday, unconventional warfare is an attempt to achieve military victory through acquiescence, through capitulation, through clandestine support for one side in a conflict. It's a psyop. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get the American people to acquiesce to the military operating in their midst, to understand that, or to feel as if these people are so powerful they cannot be opposed. We cannot acquiesce to this. They say unconventional warfare targets civilian populations psychologically to win hearts and minds. It only targets military and political bodies directly seeking to render the military proficiency of the enemy to be irrelevant. Say, this is all about training, and they go on to say, training, equipping, and advising locals who will seek regime change. What kind of regime change are we looking for here in America? Well, they have been doing a lot to change the way America operates. We've documented that over the last several years, and it didn't start with Obama, unfortunately. It's been going on, getting progressively and exponentially worse with each president. When we look at Posse Comitatus, and the Posse Comitatus Act, let's first go back to Posse Comitatus. What is that? Let's understand the background, the history of this. Posse Comitatus, in the Latin, means power of the community. They shortened it to a posse. You've all heard of the Western posse. The idea being that you did not have, in America until the latter part of the 20th century, you did not have a permanent standing army of policemen in uniforms with guns. No, what you had was a sheriff, maybe a couple of deputies. If there was something major that had happened, if there was a riot, if there was a bank robbery, the sheriff would come around. He would get the members of the community who were armed because they were not slaves. They had the means, the ability, the right to protect themselves. So they had arms. They would be collected by the sheriff, and they would put together a posse to take care of that bank robber or to put down that riot. So it was the power of the community, Posse Comitatus. And, of course, you know, as I said, they shortened it essentially to posse. You know, you don't want to hear John Wayne talking about Posse Comitatus. It sounds too pedantic. You know, so it's like, yeah, let's get the posse. Let's go get these guys. So that's what they did. It was essentially like the militia as opposed to a permanent professional standing army, because they understood that you don't want to be under professional military people. You don't want to be under a police state. And so what you have is the community with power, not a few people who are in law enforcement. And look at what we have today. We have police, we have sheriffs, we have highway patrol. Everywhere you are, you've got three levels of people in uniforms with guns standing there to harass you like highway robbers. That's what it's about. Look at what happened in New York when they shut things down because they got angry with the mayor who didn't stand with them, when they choked Eric Garner to death over an unpaid cigarette tax. They said, fine, you're not going to stand behind us. You're going to throw us under the bus when we enforce your petty rules and regulations based on getting revenue. Then we're not going to do that. We're not going to collect that for you. We're not going to write tickets or arrest people unless it is absolutely necessary. You know what? 95% drop in arrests and tickets, because 95%, probably much more, but at least 95%, they admitted, was unnecessary of what they did. And actually, crime went down. See, when people look at this and you say, we should have the power in the community. We should have a militia instead of a permanent standing army. We should have a posse that is called together by a sheriff instead of having a massive police force that oppresses the people, harasses the people, eats out their substance, as the founders of this country put in the Declaration of Independence. We need to understand what's going on with that. We need to take back that power. We need to question the role of these men with arms that we've put in to rule over us like overseers on a plantation. Just because you're operating in the house of the plantation doesn't mean you got a good deal or you're safe. You understand that? The people who are doing hard time out in the field, they understood they didn't want to be slaves. But a lot of the people who are working in the house, they kind of like that deal. But it's not a good thing. You have to want your freedom. And the way you're going to get it is to get rid of these permanent police state operations, to get rid of the standing military. We need to have that discussion, but of course we can't. Nothing can be done to reduce the defense budget. Not even our most libertarian candidates will cut the defense budget. Stay with us. We're going to be right back and talk about more of this background.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
back to the Alex Jones Show. Now I want to continue on this idea of posse comitatus a little bit longer. We're going to play a report from Joe Biggs talking about how Fox News spun our reporting of this in the next segment. But in this segment, I want to continue on with this posse comitatus because it is all connected. The whole idea that you're going to have, that we're endangered by a standing army. Understand that when Madison and the other founders of this country created the Constitution, they did not envision a permanent standing army. What they envisioned was an officer corps of the army and a permanent navy. Of course, they didn't have an Air Force at that time. The Air Force could also be permanent. But they did not envision a permanent standing military. They knew that historically that had always been used to oppress the people. They explicitly talked about the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire, you don't need to have an army unless you're going to project power like an empire, unless you're going to invade other countries. If you're going to defend invaders, if you're going to be like Switzerland, for example, what you're best served by is an armed citizenry. Switzerland was the only country that was not invaded. Why? Because they followed the model that the American founders set up. We did not follow that model. We don't follow that model anymore. But we used to. We used to have a militia that would respond to invasion and defend their land. But they're not going to get the Swiss people to go abroad and take over other countries. And that's why they create an army. And, of course, if you go back to World War II, my family is watching a series that we'd never seen when it first came out, Band of Brothers. I know most people have seen it by now. We didn't. We don't watch that much television. So we're going through and looking at World War II. And, you know, the people there, they were adamant that they wanted to sign up. They saw their country as having been attacked. They wanted to defend it. That was the mindset of the people. And so you had a massive citizen army under a corps of officers that were there that were permanent. They realized with Vietnam that they could not rely on a draft or the citizens to fulfill their vision of empire. And so they went to a professional army. Now, the problem is that with a professional army, you have people who are going to be far more susceptible to political considerations, who are going to be looking at their career. And they're not going to be coming at it from the standpoint of just merely protecting their country. And we could look at this and we could say, well, you know, this whole idea of not having massive police forces, just having a very, very tiny police force that calls upon the community if there's something major that they need assistance for, as we saw in America, in the West, the posse. To say that we could go with that, or to say that we could go with a militia that would be called up under an officer corps, people will say, well, that's an anachronism. We can't really have that anymore because that's just, it's a different world. It's a modern world. Nobody said to the founders at the time they were talking about the dangers of a standing army, nobody said to them, well, you know, yeah, that happened with the Roman people, but, you know, today we've got muskets. You know, this is much more dangerous than it was at the time of the Roman Empire. Look, the technology changes, but human nature does not change. That's why their understanding of human nature, their understanding of history, their understanding of how people behave when they get power, that was why they set up a system of checks and balances. And one of those checks and balances was not to have a permanent standing army. And we're seeing those kinds of abuses as we look at these exercises that are being done within America to take away civilians. You got to ask yourself, when they want to move around, when their stated purpose is to move around in American cities with Operation Jade Helm or Jade Helm exercise, I guess they call it, when their stated objective is to move around in America and not be detected by Americans, do you see a problem with that? I see a big problem with that. I don't think that's a legitimate thing for our government to be doing. And as we're looking at this film footage from Fort Lauderdale, where they did their unannounced exercise last night, we see people being herded up into white vans and driven off. Is that what we want in our country? I don't want that in our country. We need to understand that when the technology changes, it only makes people, it only exacerbates the evil human nature, the evil aspects of power. We need to understand that with DARPA's powerful technology, they are concentrating power into the hands of a few people. That's what's so dangerous about these special forces operations. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Joe Biggs' report.
KLWN, Los Angeles. home radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else. Clone.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. The Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. And today we've been talking about this drill in Fort Lauderdale. Of course, the last week we've been talking about Operation Jade Helm or the Jade Helm exercise. The unclassified document that went viral when we reported on it. Talking about a massive military exercise over a couple of months that's going to be taking place in the Southwest. With Texas and Utah being marked as hostile, marked as red, and of course the friendly states are marked in blue. Isn't that interesting? Places like, you know, California and Colorado, states that are in the Democrat column. And of course, we have seen over the last several years a lot of military drills inside urban cities. And that's something we should all be very concerned about. Typically, they're not announced, just as this one that we were showing in the last hour in Fort Lauderdale was not announced. And if you haven't seen this, go back and take a look at the video. The news article is on Infowars.com. Video shows troops training to intern citizens in Fort Lauderdale. A very disturbing video to me because I've seen them training for this on multiple occasions. I've seen the scenarios. I understand what this is. This is a psyop against the American people, but they're also training for martial law in the United States. You know, we have to be concerned, especially when we see special forces practicing flying into an area, grabbing some people, and flying out in 15 minutes, or when they've got civilians being marched around as role players inside a city and then being loaded up into buses. How many times are they going to do that, and people get used to seeing that, and then when they do it for real, they don't realize it's for real, because we have the NDAA. They can detain people indefinitely, the military can, without due process. And, of course, transport them somewhere else where they can be tortured. We all know that that happens with our government. And so we should be very concerned about this. And when I was looking at the comments on the Daily Mail, which did a balanced report of this, these are some of the comments. One of the persons said, the U.S. military wants to know if American soldiers can remain undetected while operating among other Americans. What's wrong with this explanation? Yeah, there is something very wrong with that. When the American government is operating on that, we have special forces who are operating in unconventional warfare, which they admit is a psychological operation. As we broke this, Joe Biggs got an email from a friend of his that he had fought with in Afghanistan or Iraq that said, shut up, you're going to ruin the PSYOP. It is a PSYOP. That's what unconventional warfare is. They're trying to train, equip, and advise locals who are going to be with them on regime change. That's what's wrong with this whole thing. A lot of people will say, well, you know, we need the military and we need to have protection of our borders because we've got these dangerous drug cartels and, you know, 100,000 people have been killed in Mexico over the drug wars that we helped to create with our drug prohibition issues. But of course, these dangerous drug cartels could come in and start doing that in the United States. So we need to have the military trained for that. That is not what they're training for. When they go in, as you can see in this video, they are training for extraction of people. They're training to get people on the red list, people on the blue list. You should be very concerned about the fact, and as I was mentioning the standing army, they understand that if they've got a large army, there are going to be people who are not happy with what they're doing. People whose loyalty doesn't lie to the institution, but lies to their country. People whose loyalty is to their homeland, not to the government necessarily. And when the government comes after people in their homeland unjustified, they will stand back. They won't do that. That's why it's dangerous. I don't want to see people conscripted into the army. But I'm saying is that that's one of the reasons why they go to a permanent professional army, is so they get people that they can put a different level, a different kind of pressure on. And of course, that army continues to shrink down. Donald Rumsfeld wanted a smaller army when they went to Afghanistan and Iraq. They wanted to use special forces with high-tech weapons. It wasn't very effective. They eventually did the troop surge, but that's the goal. And let me tell you, if you look at these nightmare weapons that DARPA is creating, many of which you don't know about. Some of them they let us know about, but they're far beyond that. There's a lot of secret stuff that they have that you don't know anything about. When you combine that with special forces, it is truly, truly an awesome military and something that is totally out of our control. This is a black ops military that's being created. These are the boots on the ground for the CIA and the NSA, for the secret surveillance state, where we can't know anything that they're doing. That's the way these people operate. We should be very afraid of a government like that. Let's play this clip from, it was about 2 years ago, I think, when 2013 we did this report. Let's play this where they're talking in L.A. about why they trained in urban areas.
Special Military Operation Forces, in conjunction with the LAPD, conducting some military maneuvers that had many people wondering what is going on.
When a Black Hawk helicopter and four OH-6s, or Little Birds, flew over the city. Duran says the military picks environments based on what they might be facing in the near future.
If it's a mountainous terrain, then they go to mountains. If it's a desert terrain, they use the desert.
Also, what we saw here tonight in downtown Los Angeles has been seen in Miami and in Boston.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
You notice what he
let's
said.
Let's hold it right there. You heard what the guy from the military said. We're going to train to fight, and we're going to train to fight in the mountains if we're going to be fighting in the mountains, or in the desert. We're going to train in the desert. So they're fighting not just an urban environment; they're fighting in an American urban environment. That's a very important distinction to understand there. And when they push back on this, well, they originally came back and said their denials were, well, I don't really know what InfoWars is talking about. They wouldn't talk about us by name, because they didn't want people to go to our site to see the evidence that we had. They don't want people to come to our site to see that these scenarios have been developing over many years, to see the multiple clips, the multiple links to their own documents that show what they're training for. So they don't mention our name, just like Fox News doesn't mention our name. But it's out there. They understand they're losing the information war because Drudge will link to these types of things. And one of the things that they were talking about a year ago, remember there was that meeting that they had in the Pentagon? They said, why are we losing the information war? Here's what one lady got up and said there.
I don't think the American people actually trust us to deliver accurate information. How are we, what's the plan to change that in the way ahead? Because to continue the way we have, to continue to put that positive spin, it feels like we're losing a lot of our audience because they're not listening. Because we keep saying the same thing over, everything is okay.
This is at the military at the Pentagon.
Or the sexual assault issues that we've been experiencing in the Air Force. So how do we change that culture from that PAO up? Because a lot of times, speaking from my perspective, and I can only speak from my perspective and a junior enlisted perspective, the younger generations get it, that we have to start being honest and forthright. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to convey those ideas and convince the chain of command to necessarily follow those or to be ready to put that first foot forward before someone else leaks our story.
You can see the Pentagon guy just getting a really bad case of heartburn. Keep playing this.
As it is, a lot of people, from what I can see, are going through with it. We're putting out mindless propaganda is what some of us feel that we're putting out, and that what the American people feel that we're putting out. So how do we change this?
Thank you for a very good question, and thank you for your recent service.
That's a good question. Of course, he spends it from this point. You can see this guy just getting a bad case of heartburn. Go ahead and cut that down. And, of course, they do spin it. And as I mentioned, they spun it by saying, well, that site is blocked. Of course, they're the ones who blocked it. But, of course, people could still go to Scribd, and they could still see the Jade Helm exercise document that we were talking about there. But he didn't want to, he wanted to pretend that it didn't exist, pretend that he had absolutely no knowledge of it. That's the kind of unbelievable, mindless propaganda that we continue to see coming out of all levels of the government, but especially the military, when it comes to these types of exercises. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to play Joe Biggs taking apart the way that Fox News propagandizes the public in this psychological operation. We'll be right back.
Take you live to
the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We've been talking about the drill that happened in Fort Lauderdale. Yet another drill extracting people, just as we see, as I said before, it's really kind of a acting out of the NDAA, indefinite detention by the military, and being renditioned out of an area. And, of course, that's part of what's going on with this Jade Helm exercise. They're going to fly in, extract people, and leave. About 15 minutes, they said, in Brazos County. I don't know what they're going to do in other areas. But, of course, when that was exposed, people didn't know this was happening, going to happen in Fort Lauderdale. Nevertheless, citizen journalists got that. And as we pointed out in the last hour, it's very important that we maintain our rights to film our government when they're acting in official capacity, especially when they're operating in areas that are questionable as to whether or not we want them doing that, or we have the police involved in breaking the law or involved in police brutality. But, of course, in Montana, they want to have you get a permit to film the police. That's a new bill that they put there. And even if you get permission from them to film them, they still will maintain that they have editorial control over anything that you film before you can post it. That is absolutely outrageous. And, of course, we got a video that shows not only that they're doing that in Fort Lauderdale, but we also got an article that says that the police have a new policy in Topeka, Kansas, that everyone's going to be treated as a criminal. When the police encounter you, you're going to have to put your hands up, kind of taking the hands up, don't shoot, to a literal extension there. So we see that happening. As I pointed out, we need to question how we want to set our government up. This government, I believe, is totally out of control. The police, and hopefully this won't happen, but the potential, when we see with these scenarios and this training, the potential for the military to become predators is also there. We see that that is the training scenario that they have, going against political opponents, using the military in that way. And we know that historically has always happened. So they're pushing back on this. They're saying, well, we can't see the documents, and of course, this wouldn't be against posse comitatus because we're merely training, so forth and so on. Also saying that we are predicting that this is going to be martial law. That is not what we were saying whatsoever. Joe Biggs had a report analyzing the way Fox News was spinning the information and lying about what was being said. Go ahead.
I'm Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, U.S. Army retired veteran of both Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I'm here today to dismantle the lies, propaganda, and just blatant BS put out by the mainstream media, the Pentagon. All these different sources are just clearly lying about this Operation Jade Helm 1-5. Now, first off, I want to talk about the Army Times. Now, in the Army Times, it says that Joe Biggs is cited as a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq and said that exercises would prepare troops to throw citizens in FEMA camps. I'm cited as a U.S. Army veteran. Hello, you guys have written about me before. You can actually go Google my name with Army Times and pull up an article that you yourself did. Hello, you might want to go fact check yourself before you wreck yourself. You guys are supposed to have our backs. I'm a veteran. I actually have a Purple Heart. Do you know what that is? You obviously don't know what a veteran is. This is a Purple Heart. So now we're going to talk about the BizPak Review article. It says that we call this basically a secret document that proved to be bogus, but it hasn't slowed down the storm of conspiracies. Well, if you go back to March 23rd of last week, there's a video where I bring this Jade Helm 1-5 document to Alex. We sit down here at the news desk and we discuss what's going on. And in the video, you can clearly see that it says unclassified. Not once have we said secret document in any video. It's not secret. It's been hiding in plain sight for anyone to find, except most people don't know what to look for. And if they did see something like that, they wouldn't know what they were looking at.
We get sent by one of our sources, I'll leave it at that, hey, this is hidden behind a firewall, but it's unclassified. They're supposed to be releasing this. A little bird just put it on Scripps, the big document site. So that's a trick. When something's supposed to be declassified, they'll still hide it. So now for 4 or 5 days, they've had the different publications, Stars and Stripes, military.com, and others going, we don't know if the document's real, but these conspiracy theorists claim that we want to take over Texas and Utah this summer and martial law. We're not going to have martial law this summer.
You notice how they don't deny the operation, though, whatsoever? They just keep trying to, you know, move the attention away from the fact that that's going on and just keep throwing out the conspiracy term and keep attacking us so it takes people's attention off of the fact that there is a mission going to happen, just like it says in the documents. They're not denying it.
And then you got contacted by one of your friends that you served with,
yeah,
saying, shut up, it's a psyop, get you none of your business.
Yeah. And that's the reason why it's getting this kind of coverage, because there is underlined hidden messages in this document. The Pentagon keeps attacking us, coming after us, claiming that we said this is secret. So now we're going to take a look at Fox News. And in their article, it says Pentagon and local law enforcement are trying to knock down the rumors and let everyone know that the feds have no plan to take over Texas. Well, last night on the Kelly file, Megyn Kelly was talking to a reporter out of L.A., Chase Gallagher.
While the military says it's just training soldiers for the realities of war, critics say the Army is preparing for modern-day martial law. Trace Gallagher live in our West Coast newsroom with the story. Trace?
And they joke back and forth and banter. They would not once mention the fact that Alex Jones or myself or InfoWars broke this story, brought to the attention of the American people. All they did was just call us some conspiracy group out of Austin, Texas, or something like that. This is out of control. They are blatantly lying, saying that we said it was a secret document when we never said that whatsoever.
Well, that hostile characterization didn't sit well with a far-right radio host in Austin who told his listeners that he had access to the secret document that details a federal takeover in Texas. A libertarian website also picked up on the plan, and before you know it, rallies were being held against the event. But apparently the so-called secret document was published weeks ago in several local newspapers, letting the public know the training was in the works. Still, the Pentagon and local law enforcement are trying to knock down the rumors, trying to let everyone know that the feds have no plans to grab the Lone Star State. Apparently this kind of stuff just doesn't play very well in Texas.
Now, they refuse to link to our videos. Last night, Alex Jones actually did a video which outlines with proof what is happening, the plan to condition the American public into accepting this military presence on the streets. Now we're going to look at an article from the Dallas Morning News. It says, the U.S. Army Special Operations Command has an upcoming training exercise so covert, there was a press release about it 2 days ago. Well, first of all, this goes back to the whole thing saying that we said it was secret. We never said it was secret. We showed you the document where it says unclassified. This is where it actually gets interesting. Now it says, despite assurances that the training is to prepare troops for overseas missions, Army documents...
Okay, we got a break coming up. You can see that full report on InfoWars.com. And of course, as Joe is pointing out, one of the ways that you spin this is by creating a straw man, as they did on Fox News, saying that we're saying that this is some secret document that we found. We never said that. So it's very easy for them to say that this unclassified document is secret. Is not secret, rather. So you create a straw man, and then you take it apart. We're going to come back right after the break. We're going to take some of your calls. We've got some more information about civil asset forfeiture. 877-789-2539. 877-789-ALEX. That's the Sunday number. Call us if you want to comment on this or any of the other stories that we've talked about earlier today. We're going to take your calls after the break.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to be going to phone calls in just a moment. We're going to go to John in Florida. If you want to call in and talk to us about this Fort Lauderdale drill that has just surfaced on the InfoWars site. You can see exactly the type of drill that apparently they're going to be using in the Jade Helm exercise. If you want to comment on that, or Jade Helm, or if you want to talk about the pending United States of Europe. We also talked about that in the first hour. So we see them consolidating and admitting that these trade groups that they had, as far as the EU, as far as the North American Free Trade Association, all these things were sovereignty-based. And now the mask is coming off of that as they are starting to consolidate those levels into yet another consolidation globally with the transatlantic and the trans-Pacific partnerships that they're telling us, again, are simply economic, simply trade. But we know that it's going to be followed by a sovereignty aspect of it. That's what's behind the stand down at the border. You want to know what's going on with that? They don't consider there to be a border. Petraeus said, what comes after America? Well, that's North America. And of course, as I mentioned in the first hour, the Council on Foreign Relations, 10 years ago, Ted Cruz's wife was working with them to say, we're going to have a common border around the three countries of the NAFTA organization. We're not going to have individual countries. So they know that they knew that this was about sovereignty all along. They said anybody that said it was about sovereignty, however, they were paranoid. They were conspiracy theorists. No, we're being shown yet again that's exactly what's behind this. And we know what's behind these drills that are going on as well, because we've looked at the scenarios for that. We know what they're training for. They're doing exactly what their training scenarios were saying that they were going to do. I'm going to go to these calls, but before I do, I just want to let you know that we have a new formulation, Winter Sun. It's a vitamin D3, and of course, they talk about it being winter sun, but you know, in America, even when it's summer, most of us don't get out into the sunshine very much, so we're not getting too much vitamin D. That's why you need to supplement it. This is a ultra-nutraceutical quality vitamin D3. It's not D2, which is synthetic and harmful. No, this is D3, 2,000 IU per single dose of 10 drops, and it is a very good form of D3. It's a bioavailable form from the nutrient-dense lichen plant. It's not synthetic. I'll stress that again. And of course, we also have 30% off of DNA Force. For the first time, it's under $100, and you save about $40 a bottle on that. That helps your mitochondrial health, which, if you look at that, that's one of the biggest predictors of life expectancy. It helps your mitochondrial cells fight the kind of toxins that you're exposed to. It helps to helps them to fight off the damage, to control the damage. As I mentioned before, the telomeres are kind of like the little end caps on your DNA strands, kind of like the little cap on the end of your shoestring. And as those things get shorter, your DNA starts to come unraveled just like your shoestring does. So there's been a lot of scientific studies showing that certain things like resveratrol and BioPQQ are helpful for those telomeres to maintain their place to keep your DNA healthy. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to John in Florida. John?
Hey, David. How you doing today?
Doing good.
Great. Just wanted to comment on, you know, it's very troubling, of course, to see what's going on in Fort Lauderdale. I live outside of Jacksonville, and you know, there's it's a heavy military presence constantly, and you know, you see choppers flying all over downtown, and nobody even bats an eye. It's just something that everyone's gotten used to in some of these communities. So, for people that are listening that are not exposed to this, it's very real. I mean, nobody, no one seems to even care. You know, if something was going on, they wouldn't even look.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I looked at it, I was very concerned about what it was that they were doing. I mean, how do you feel about seeing the military flying with black helicopters, you know, drag people off and fly them out or march them down in single file and put them into white vans and drive them away? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to, you know, you train on how you feel you're going to be fighting. And yes. Why else would they be doing that? And just one other quick point. You know, where are all the purged high-level military people? You know, why don't they speak up, you know?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, we've seen a lot of people, as you point out, we've seen a lot of people very high up in the military fired for silly little stuff. I mean, there was like the number two guy, I think, in the nuclear arsenal fired because he cheated at poker. I mean, crazy stuff that you would never see before. And very improbable that they would be dismissed for these types of things. And yet there was just a slew of these things that happened all at once. A lot of people very high up. Yeah, it's very concerning, very concerning. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm concerned about the fact that we even have a standing military. I think we need to go back as we need to have this debate here and say, shouldn't we stand the military down to where we just have an officer corps and not have such a large permanent army that we can get involved in all these different wars of empires we've been for the last 60 years? Thank you, John. Let's go to Adam in Florida. Adam?
Hey, Dan.
Hey.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
Hey there. I was calling with the comment that being, now I could be wrong, but being that these exercises are to be conducted amongst the American population and we're being told to go ahead, if you see something, say something and report it, it's almost like, from what I understand, they're encouraging people to go and report if they notice military activity. But to me, this is like already testing things out and putting the American people at odds with the military and almost challenging them to go out and, you know, be in a contest with them.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? It's a psychological operation on multiple levels. I mean, they're looking to see at the state and local level which people are going to have a problem with them doing this kind of exercise. And, of course, I think most of the people at the county level, for sure, don't really understand what's going on. They don't really know about the asymmetric warfare centers where the government's been training. They don't really know what unconventional warfare is. They don't get it. So that's one aspect of it that we can work on. But of course, they want to know who's going to be with them and who's going to put some resistance against this type of stuff. And they also want to get us accustomed to seeing this. They want to know which people are going to have a problem with it. But of course, they're monitoring everything that we do anyway. You're not going to be able to hide from these people. You know, it's the sort of thing, like I pointed out when I first came here, there was, back in North Carolina, we used to go to the Smoky Mountains a lot. And there was a flyer that we got. And it talked about if you saw a bear, the best thing you could do from the bear, the worst thing you could do is to run from the bear. Do not run from the bear. The best thing you can do is stand up, try to look impressive, try to show him you're going to fight back, yell and scream at him, throw stuff at him if necessary, but do not run and cower in fear. And so I think that's the way you have to approach these predators on two legs. When you see the government doing stuff that it shouldn't be doing, you don't stand down, you stand up and you speak out against it. You get with your friends and your people who are like-minded and you point this out. And I think it's very important for us to see these videos. I'm very glad that this person exercised their First Amendment rights to film this happening in Fort Lauderdale and put this up on the internet. They don't want to see that happen. They don't want to see episodes of police brutality put up. That's why you're seeing laws being introduced in multiple states, like the one I pointed out in Montana, where they want to license you to film the police doing their official business and then maintain editorial control even after you get that license. That's a very dangerous thing. So I think we should all speak out about that and have a discussion as to what the proper role of the military is. How do you feel about that? I don't think that's necessarily just pitting the military against the civilian population. I think we need to, as we see this, we need to step back and we need to say, let's talk about what the proper role of the military is.
Right. I wish I was more educated as to what to say, but just the whole thing, having military presence, everyone around, and, you know, basically putting them at odds with us is just a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's the way it has always happened in history. You know, human nature doesn't change. The technology changes, and all that means is that there's more people that can be killed when things go down. And, of course, I think it's interesting, when I went back and looked at the Asymmetric Warfare Center's videos before we went out there, they were pretty candid about talking about the fact that they had lost all of their counterinsurgency operations. They still killed a lot of people. And they have a massive amount of firepower that we don't even know the full extent of it. But they're not going to win this one either if it turns into a shooting war. I hope it doesn't. We need to have that discussion and talk about that. We're going to take your calls right after the break. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host, and we're going to try to get through as many calls as we can in this last segment. I want to go to Chris in Kentucky. Chris, go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Dave, for taking my call. You're absolutely right on the documentary about the military takeover in these drills. I mean, this is going on for some time. And when 9/11 happened, I live in Louisville, Kentucky, and I tell you, in this town, the Kentucky Derby is like a total police state in this county. Mm-hmm. They want to condition people every year how safer and safer they are when you have more feds and more military and everybody blending together with these armed, you know, tyrants, what I call it. That's what's going on in this country. And these people under 35 and younger have no clue. They're just like, well, what's the big deal? Or they don't care, or they don't see it because, you know, being tracked is trendy. There's nothing wrong with Big Brother looking at you.
That's right. And Chris, they've grown up in school with armed guards. I didn't have police in the schools when I was going to school. We didn't have metal detectors in the school when I was going to school. And we didn't have the kind of crime that we have today. This does not make us safer. Creating a police state does not make you safer. You do not get security by giving up your liberty. When you give up your liberty, you become a slave. You live in a prison state. You live in a maximum security state. That's what we call the worst prisons. Prisons is maximum security. And that's what we're getting in the state. And as you rightly pointed out, the younger generation is totally acclimated to this. They don't see anything wrong with this. And that's the whole point. That's what's so perversive and about this, and what's so dangerous about this, is the way that they are acclimating everyone to living in this.
Absolutely. You know, with the cell phones, you get storable foot, you're being tracked. You're going to be tracked. It's like what everywhere you go. You got Wi-Fi, satellite systems, they're going to track you. All this stuff about missing this and that crime, whatever the case may be, you're tracked. You're guilty to proven innocence. That's what we're getting into.
Absolutely. And you look at the Stingray, for example. You're talking about tracking people. They're collecting everyone's information with these fake cell phone towers. They would not even tell the judges where they got this information, because they had something that was more important than their oath to the Constitution, more important than enforcing the law. They had something that's called a non-disclosure agreement that they'd signed with Harris Corporation. So they weren't going to talk about the Stingray. And actually had a case where the judge said, well, you don't have a non-disclosure agreement with me. At that point, the law enforcement said, well, we'll just dismiss the case then. That let this criminal go rather than do that. And, of course, the problem is we just had a case come out of Charlotte, North Carolina, where they're talking about the fact that they're using Stingray. They admit that they're using Stingray. And they say, but we're disclosing this. We disclose the fact that we collected this evidence to the defendants, so they can't use that as a way to turn back the conviction in many cases. The problem is that they're not getting a search warrant to search these people or to search others. It isn't the fact that they disclose it or didn't disclose it to the defense attorneys. The fact is that they did not get a search warrant. When we allow the government to get rid of things like search warrants, when we allow them, going all the way back to the RICO statutes in 1970 with Richard Nixon, they said, we got to go after organized crime, so we're going to give the government the power to confiscate people's property without actually finding them guilty of a crime. Once you break the law in fundamental ways like that, once you break the idea of the presumption of innocence, once you break the idea that you have to convict somebody before you can penalize them, then all bets are off. And that's what's happening right now with this massive dragnet surveillance state that we have. It's going to have the same kind of effects down the line that we have seen that came about with the RICO statute, with the civil asset forfeiture of Reagan in 1986. The fact that they can pull you over and steal your car without even charging you with a crime, let alone finding you guilty of a crime. That's the kind of thing we have to be worried about, and that's what's happening now with this police state. You're absolutely right. It's rolling this out, conditioning the public to seeing the military everywhere, and unfortunately, it seems to be working, because most of the younger people I see are really passive about this because they have seen it as they grew up in the schools, on the streets, everywhere. They're just rolling it out to a larger area. Was there anything else you wanted to say, Chris?
Yeah, I just want to just say that, you know, there's a lot of good people in government. Folks, step up. County, state, especially the sheriff. The sheriff has the power in their county to say no to this. And give them gun rights and freedom and stop this, you know, federal surveillance, whatever. The sheriff has the power.
Absolutely. And, you know, people are stepping up in certain areas. We've had in Wyoming as well as in New Mexico, we've had the state legislatures step up, for example, with civil asset forfeiture. And I didn't get a chance to cover this today. We'll cover it tomorrow. But we had the legislature, I believe it was unanimous in both the House and the Senate in New Mexico, said they wanted to stop civil asset forfeiture. They wanted to make sure that the government could not steal your property without charging you and convicting you of something that was a crime. And it looks like the governor is maybe not going to sign that bill. We just had a similar thing happen in Wyoming, where both the state House and Senate passed a bill to stop civil asset forfeiture. And amazingly, the governor, I think his name is Meade in Wyoming, said, no, civil asset forfeiture is a right. In other words, the government has a right to confiscate your property for no reason at all. And he said, crime should not pay, especially drug crime. Well, you know what? Theft should not pay, especially when the government steals. And that's what the government is becoming. Just like Lysander Spooner said, the difference between a highwayman and the government is that the highwayman just takes your purse and then leaves you alone, whereas the government steals your money and follows you down the road nagging you. Well, it's getting much worse than that. They kill people. They steal everything without even charging you with a crime. Thank you, Chris. Let's go to Joe in New York. Joe.
Hi, David. If the Jade Helm is to condition the citizens to seeing the military, how about reversing that
And having a citizen on every street corner when the military rolls through town to condition them slightly.
I agree with that. I think that's why it's very important that we get the information out about Jade Helm. See, the information didn't go out about Fort Lauderdale. It hasn't gone out about so many of these things. When we did this report a year ago, that we played a little bit of an excerpt about it, where they were doing it in L.A., where they were doing it in Chicago and Miami. They don't tell people about it until it's about to happen, or as it's happening. The media will come on and say, oh, don't be alarmed. This isn't any big deal. I think that's what they're going to do with Jade Helm. If anybody had an issue about it and call the police would say, oh, don't worry about it. We know this is the military. They're doing a training exercise. This is why it's important that people get this information. And as you point out, they're there to film what's going on, to let them know that we're watching what they're doing. I think that's a very important thing to do.
Well, there are a whole bunch of other things that could be done, but too much to go into right here. If you want to talk to me offline, feel free to call.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Give them your phone number. I appreciate that. Thank you, Joe. Let's go to Rob in Arizona. Rob?
Yeah, David. Nice to talk to you today. Thank you for doing a great job. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. It's a little bit echoey. Do you not have your speakerphone?
I'll switch to my headset.
Okay.
Hear me better now?
Yeah, that's much better. Much better. Thank you.
Okay. One thing that nobody is talking about, I'm not hearing it from Alex, nobody. And that is the fact that Ted Cruz is not eligible to run for president. Why? Because he was born in Calgary, Alberta. And the Constitution is quite clear in that regard. I have a copy of it right in front of me. And I know
Harvard professors. Rob, I did talk about that on the nightly news. I mentioned the fact that a lot of the people who brought up the same objections about Barack Obama, saying that his father was not a U.S. citizen, his mother was, and then there was a question as to whether or not he was born in the United States. But we know that Ted Cruz was not born in the United States. We know that his father was not a U.S. citizen. We know that his mother was. So that brings up an issue of the same thing as what is a natural-born citizen. I think it's very important, although that's not precisely defined as to what a natural-born citizen is, I think that's a very important aspect. But I see people on the right basically giving him a pass. What bothers me even more is the fact that his wife was very much involved, not only with the Council on Foreign Relations, but also in terms of producing this plan for NAFTA, basically saying that the North American Union should have a common border around all three countries. She was a part of that. I would think that if you're going to run for president, that you might want to pull back from that. Of course, she's also a Goldman Sachs banker. Before that, I think it was J.P. Morgan she was working with. And his father, who was working against Castro, I cannot believe that somebody that would be working to overthrow Castro would not have CIA connections. So all of that gives me a lot to be concerned about Ted Cruz, and I just hope that he's not a libertarian Manchurian candidate, but time will tell. I think the thing that's really going to tell us, Rob, is I think we need to see how these guys are going to break, all of them. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, any Republican candidate. I think we need to see what these guys are going to do with the transatlantic and the trans-Pacific partnership. That should tell us where their loyalties lie. Do their loyalties lie to corporate global governance and the big banks, or does it lie to a constitutional sovereign people? I think, however, most of them at the federal level think that it's already a fait accompli, that we've already lost America, as General Petraeus says. That's why I think we need to start working and not pay so much attention to the presidential races as we do to try to roll things back at the state level, just like we saw the legislatures in New Mexico and in Wyoming stop this madness of civil asset forfeiture. I think we can do that with state nullification, and I think we need to have jury nullification. People need to understand their rights as jurors, because that's the way you shut down bad state laws as well, not just the bad encroachments from the federal government. We're out of time. Sorry to the rest of the callers. We can't get to you, but we'll be back tomorrow at 11 Central, 12 Eastern Time, on the Alex Jones Radio Show. Join us then.